This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Summertime is travel time. And with Illinois in phase five, ostensibly very limited coronavirus restrictions, a slim majority of eligible Illinoisans are now fully vaccinated. More and more of us are planning summer vacations. Joining us again to talk about summer travel is Erica Zazo, a freelance travel writer and backpacker based here in Illinois. She's a contributor to Backpacker and Group Tour magazines and also organizes Mappy Hour meetups in Chicago. Erica, welcome back to the 21st.
Always good to chat about travel with you, Brian.
It's good to talk with you as well. And listeners, if you have summer travel plans or road trip suggestions, especially here in the Midwest, or maybe just a favorite spot you'd like to share with other listeners, give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Again, 800-222-9455. So, Erica, you recently wrote about your honeymoon trip, which was actually last fall to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. First, belated congratulations on the wedding. And second, what can you tell us about the trip?
Oh, thanks so much. I, first of all, would not wish planning a wedding, pandemic wedding for on anyone. It was a lot to organize to make sure we were doing it as safely as possible. So in order to recoup from that experience and celebrate, we did take a trip to the Porcupine Mountains in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Unlike a normal honeymoon that you might think of to an all-inclusive resort on the beach, we were hoping for a little bit more rustic experience at a log cabin in the middle of the woods to really isolate ourselves and hang out and spend time together. So we rented a bunk cabin in the Porcupine Mountains on Mirror Lake that came complete with a wood-burning stove and a canoe and pots and pans for us to cook on the stove and a single, bench inside to have dinners at.
When people think of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it sounds really far away. I mean, it's practically Canada. Is that a long drive? Is it easy to get to?
Yeah, where I am based in Chicago, it was quite the hike. It was 8 hours north of here. And if you're in Southern Illinois or surrounding areas, it's probably around 8.5, maybe 9 hours for you. So it is very much worth that trek, though. I think stopping halfway like we did in Wisconsin, somewhere like Elkhart Lake or Milwaukee, it could help break up your trip. And that way you're able to get to the trails and explore if you're not driving right from the morning all the way through the night, instead getting up halfway and driving so you're arriving before it gets too dark and you head out.
Now, I saw some of the photos from your trip. That it was foliage in the fall is beautiful, but this is something that holds up really any season, right? In summer, at least, if you want to visit the UP.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bad time to visit the UP. I think if you're going in the winter, for sure, you're going to need a car to get you up there through the roads. But in the summertime, you can expect, obviously warmer weathers. I think one thing to keep in mind, especially in a rainy season like we've been having, lots of mosquitoes, and I know the ticks have been pretty coming out in full force. So I think being prepared for the bugs in the summertime is one thing that you need to keep in mind. So even maybe bringing a bug net to either sleep under or in, or also even hiking with one if you needed to get the bugs out of your face. Not to say that you're going to experience that, but maybe plan ahead and research a little bit when those bugs might be around more, and that's certainly in the summer.
Oh, you're going to experience the bugs. Come on. It's Northern Michigan. You also recently had a glamping experience. Maybe for if there are any of our listeners who are still not familiar with glamping, let's start with a definition. What is glamping?
Yeah, glamping, it's almost like staying in a hotel in the outdoors if you pick the experience that you want. I went to Off Map. It is in South Haven, Michigan. It's a new glamp ground with 12 full canvas tents that have everything you would expect in a normal hotel room. Battery operated light lanterns, a little mini fireplace stove, a full king size bed with a comfy memory foam mattress, and even a chair and side table, side chairs and a side table for you to sit around. So it's basically everything provided for you. And I think if that's something you're looking for as a, as an easier entry point into the outdoors, but still having those creature comforts of a warm bed to stay in at night and a squishy mattress, I think it's something to check out because they're starting to pop up around the Midwest.
And you tweeted some photos of your experience, and we will put those on our website at 21stshow.org. We'll embed your tweet there. So if listeners want to find your Twitter account, which is One Curious Traveler, and check out some of the photos of that, they can do so. You know, seeing your pictures, I was reminded of one of my favorite books, which is Encounters with the Archdruid by John McPhee. It's a sort of landmark environmental work. And one of the people he writes about is this geologist who'd spent most of his life working outdoors all over the world, hunting for places to mine. And McPhee, though, says he never made a religion of camping out. He writes, his general practice on trips of exploration for minerals had been to sleep in a bed if there was one within 5 miles. And I love that idea. Are you now a glamping convert? No more sleeping on the ground for you? Or where did you come down on that?
I think everyone has their own comfort level of being outside. And just so you say you're going camping, it doesn't necessarily mean you're sleeping on, you know, the ground with a tarp underneath you. I think even if you're going what I like to call car camping or to a state park, for example, you can make it as comfortable as you'd like it to be. I think, you know, I don't shame myself for wanting to bring an air mattress to the state park and a stove so that I can cook on, or pots and pans to put onto the fire. You know, camping can, it spans a whole range of personality types and interests. So I think catering it to your own needs and in making the experience what you want it to be is totally doable. And you don't have to fit that, you know, definition of what you think of when you think of rustic camping. So I'm not necessarily only glamping when I'm going camping, but I do appreciate a shower and a comfortable bed to sleep on while I'm outside.
Yes, I'm going to also say for myself, all those criteria plus a toilet that does not involve the word gravity in the description of it.
Yes.
One of our producers is going outdoors, I think this weekend, and one of her fellow travelers tried to convince her they're going glamping, but they're bringing their own tent and there's an air mattress, so she is not convinced. I wonder, Erica, you mentioned earlier picking your experience when you go glamping. What should people look for when they are, you know, looking for these sorts of experiences?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, it's a big part of our day. Like maybe you like to wake up and take a shower or go, you know, take a shower at night. So thinking about the types of amenities there might be for the bathroom and, you know, personal hygiene is one thing to consider. The glamp site I stayed at Off Map had 6 individual stalls with, you know, newly renovated showers and bathrooms. So that's, you know, one extreme. The other is if you're hiking out to Porcupine Wilderness area and going to the Mirror Lake cabin like I did, there is a, you know, pit toilet with just a door that latches with a wooden hook, and you're out there without flushable and, you know, running water. So I think the you know, what level of personal hygiene are you looking for that weekend or week trip is one. You know, second, you know, is making sure that you're bringing what you need to cook your food. Some glamp sites maybe come with some level of usable kitchen area, like a communal space, like Off Map had, where you can cook food in the kitchen or be close to and park your car and drive to a city, like South Haven, for example. Or if you're going glamping in your own style at a state park, maybe you're bringing a propane stove, or what I like to bring, a jet boil, which is a smaller tank that hooks up to just a water boiler. And I can, you know, pour either that hot water into dehydrated food, or use that to maybe even boil noodles. So basically doing your research about what you're comfortable with eating and sleeping and in personal hygiene are probably the 3 most important things, in my opinion.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you. We're speaking with Erica Zazo, who's a freelance outdoor travel writer. Her work's been in Backpacker and Group Tour magazines. She's also the Chicago chapter lead for Mappy Hour, which is a meetup group for people who love the outdoors. 800-222-9455 is our number if you want to join our conversation and share what your outdoor travel plans are this summer. 800-222-9455. So I have not yet sort of done traveling in the pandemic other than to visit vaccinated family members. What are you seeing out there? How has travel changed now that we seem to be, you know, hopefully heading toward a light at the end of the COVID tunnel, especially considering we talked to you about a year ago at this time and it was all about outdoor this and outdoor that and masks and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially for, outdoor centric trips to state parks or, visitor centers at nature centers. When we talked last, a lot of those facilities were closed and, maybe there weren't as many workers operating those buildings, so there were fewer of them. Or, there might have been, normal office hours that you could stop in to check into your campsite. People would be working in the past, shut down for a while. So what I'm seeing now is that a lot of these facilities are now open. A lot of state parks and community park areas do have their, restrooms and their parking lots fully open and staffed. Another thing I'm noticing is that, the campgrounds are full and the state parks are full of people at the trailhead. So, I'm recommending to still bring your mask and to be prepared, because as far as I can tell, especially in some of these more remote locations, tourists are ready and eager to get outside and go to those visitor centers and, prime destinations in the Midwest, and they are full. So be prepared for that.
Yeah, and this is a problem nationwide. I've been seeing articles about national parks just being sort of almost overrun with people eager to get outside and do something that seems safe and is far from home at the same time. In the few minutes we have remaining, I wanted to also ask you about the intersection of software and the great outdoors. I wonder if there are apps that you use to help you get outside.
Yeah, there's quite a few. And you think about unplugging when you go to the outdoors, but there's certainly some of us like myself who like to be prepared and have my maps on hand. So there's two really great tools I use when I'm planning my trips. One is The Hiking Project and the other is All Trails. These are two apps and websites that you can go on to find trails, look at the route ahead of time, plan your mileage and your distances, and see where some major waypoints are on the trail, such as where trails intersect, or if there's a viewing area along the trail. I like using those, as I said, to plan my route, but also make sure that I know, what the trail might be like. People can re leave reviews on those sites, similar to Yelp, or Google reviews, and so you can kind of see pictures from people who've been on the trail past and get a sense ahead of time, which is always important, in my opinion, to know, what adventure I'm getting myself into.
But surely there are some purists out there who are listening and saying, wait, isn't going outdoors supposed to be out about unplugging? Are you actually using the app as your sort of primary GPS and navigation tool when you're out on the trail?
There are certainly tools like that. I think starting simple with something like All Trails or The Hiking Project can give you that look at the trail and the route and the elevation and such ahead of time. If I'm trying to track myself in the trail, another kind of simple tool I'll use so that I can go back and see the route I took in the past is actually map my run. A little counterintuitive, I'm not running on the trail, I'm just hiking, but you can actually use a tool like Map My Run to turn on and just throw in your pocket while you're walking after the trail, is complete, end your route and actually have a tracked sequence of different trails you've hiked. And that's kind of a fun way to track and socialize the experience and maybe share that with your friends after, or kind of know which trails you enjoyed along the way. So
Interesting. Yeah.
yeah.
So what's your last question? What's your next big adventure? Do you have anything planned in the upcoming outings?
Yeah, I am planning some state park trips over in Michigan this year. One of my favorites is Hoffmaster State Park near Grand Haven. I always look for trails that have access to breweries along the way, what I like to call trail to tap room. So cities like Grand Haven and Muskegon and the like along the coast give me access to the beach and trails and camping and breweries. So all my favorite things to do. I would highly recommend a trip to the west coast of Michigan.
Fantastic. I do love the west coast of Michigan from back my old YMCA Camp Pinewood days. Erica Zazo is a freelance outdoor travel writer. You've seen her work in Backpacker Group Tour. She's also the leader of the Chicago chapter of Mappy Hour. Erica, always great to talk with you. I will see you out on the trail.
Thanks. See you soon.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org. There you can always find links to what we've been talking about, Twitter accounts of people we've been talking about. Our Twitter account at 21st Show. Also my Twitter account at Brian Mackey. You can also subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One, Overcast, anywhere you get your podcast. Just search for The 21st. That's The 21st. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.